from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Keon Coleman, we finally are going to have an opportunity to appreciate his game. When you watched him at Florida State, before he ran a pedestrian time at the combine, we're talking about this guy being a top 15 wide receiver. Playmaker galore, wins the 50-50 balls, does a great job of making, really expanding the strike zone for the quarterback. In Buffalo, he has a chance to step in right away.
Chance to step in right away. He's going to step in right away. The question is how productive he's going to be. We already heard from Brandon Bean. By the way, who is that? Is that Bucky Brooks? Sounds like him. All right, I got that. I got Bucky. Did you know that was Bucky Brooks?
I did not.
I recognize the voice. Bucky Brooks, former Buffalo Bills wide receiver, by the way. That's Bucky Brooks talking about Keon Coleman right there. And, you know, he has a chance to step in right away. Brandon Bean has said he's gonna play right away. Like, he has to. This is a year, Nate, where this rookie class has to be on the field. It doesn't mean, like, everybody who they drafted does, but Cole Bishop's got to play some. And Ray Davis has got to play some. And Keon Coleman has to play some. Young guys have to play because they've had this transition to go from some veterans who are making higher salaries to younger players who are cheaper, and they're reforming this roster. He's got to play. He's going to play. The question is how productive he's going to be. Sal Capaccio, Nate Geary here, filling in for Jeremy and Joe this morning on WGR. Let's get with John and Clarence, who wants to piggyback on our Saquon Barkley discussion a little bit earlier. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. At this point in time, when you're a veteran like Barkley, he's been around for a while. He's had some injuries. He's probably going to want to take a last kick at the can, so to speak. When it comes down to a guaranteed $26 million a year, $28, $30, I might be a little naive, but I don't think it's the money at that point in time. This guy maybe wants a ring. There's no doubt Philly is so much better than New York. And I'm going to guess that's like that in every sport. I might be a little Captain Obvious here, but which makes me feel a little bit on what exactly was the Diggs deal. I'm sure we'll never know that, but just your thoughts on that. And you guys have a great weekend. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, sure. I mean, of course, I think everybody wants to win, right? But money does talk, and we've seen this happen. We've seen it happen a number of different ways, John, right? Where teams and players, there's a lot of different reasons. I always say this. There's a lot of different reasons people choose to go somewhere in free agency or work. But that happens in every walk of life.
Yep.
It could be because of the money. It could be because of a chance to win. Everybody wants to win. But if you're also going to get paid incredible amount of money and more than anybody's offering, it's also tough to pass up. I do think Saquon Barkley wants to win. There's no doubt. I agree with you, John. And the Eagles have a better chance to win than the Giants. But what I'm telling you is, if you watch those Hard Knocks episodes, I think I came away thinking he made up his mind that he just wanted out of New York. It didn't even have to be Philadelphia. Maybe there was another team. There was a spot. I don't know if you saw this one, Nate. In one of the episodes, Joe Shane said he had gotten a text that the Bears were driving up the price.
Hmm.
That's the Bears, right? I mean, like...
They signed DeAndre Swift.
Correct.
To a pretty big deal.
Right. So, I just think there's always reasons. It felt to me, watching it, that the reason he wanted out might have been because they franchised him last year and he was mad.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair. It ticked him off.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Shane alluded to that process, like taking years off his life.
And he said, I don't want to do that again. Yeah. Joe was trying to do, like, I don't want to go through that again.
And he was trying to do right by the player.
Right.
In fairness.
Right. Yeah. Because he has to do what's right for the organization. All right. Before we break down the AFC East, let's look back on the Bills in the AFC East over the last several years. The Bills have a four-year AFC East Division Championship run going. They have won the Division Championship, AFC East, for the last four seasons. That is rare in the NFL. That's how successful they've been. They've won the division the last 4 years, trying to win for a fifth year in a row. Okay, Nate, let's play a little instant trivia. All right, here we go. Over the last 4 years,
okay,
the Bills would have six division games each year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Six division games each year. So over the last 4 years, that's 24 division games they've played. They've gone 19-5.
Yeah.
Can you name the five losses?
The Jets.
When? What year?
Okay,
what are you talking about?
Last year, week one, Jets.
That was overtime, 22-16.
Yep.
Bonus points, you can get scores, by the way.
Okay.
Overtime, 22-16 on the punt return.
Dolphins, the year before the Heat game, 21-17?
21-19. Very good. That is the Dolphins Heat game. That is correct. Five losses. The Bills are 19-5 in their division in the last 4 years. It's amazing.
Patriots last season,
mm-hmm,
week 13?
It was before that. Looks like it's week, let me count it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Okay, week 7. Mac Jones goes down the field, scores a touchdown. They beat the Bills after the Bills had made a pretty miraculous comeback to get the game tied.
And take the lead, actually.
31?
It was...
24?
You're in the ballpark. 29-25.
Okay.
29-25. You have three of the five. You have the most recent three. You have the Jets and Pats last year.
Yep.
And you have the Dolphins in the Heat game in 2022. There's two more losses.
There's another Zach Wilson loss in there, isn't there? A Jets game.
Yes.
And it is...
We just referenced this morning with Boy Green. What happened in that game that was noteworthy?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What happened in that game?
Something happened towards the end of that game. It was very noteworthy. It was huge, huge news and story, and we followed it for weeks.
Care if I take a stab at it?
No, you know it.
Okay.
You know it. Don't take a stab. Hold on. Thank you for asking before you do that, though, because I might have to have you do that in a second. Come on. What happened at the Jets in November of 2022? The Bills lost the game. Josh Allen got hurt.
Oh, right. Yes, and that's the Gabe Davis yes. almost play.
Yes, yes,
okay, yes, yes, yes.
yes.
Was it
24-21?
24-20?
20-17.
Okay,
so you're close.
I'm close.
It's a 3-point game here. And Zach Wilson did start and play that game.
He
right?
did.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. And he played well. And he actually that was one of the games he actually played well in against the Bills. And maybe like the following week he also played well. Was that?
I think he had a couple little two game stretch there. Maybe
a couple of lies.
Yeah. And by the way, the other noteworthy thing in that game was Sauce Gardner has only two picks in his career. One of them happened
in
that
game. Yep.
Right. That was the other thing we talked about.
Okay. This last one's gonna kill me.
Oh man, it is a.
It's a tough one.
No. You're going to be like, how could I forget that? You know it, right? Evan,
oh,
you're
I
laughing.
Know.
I know. You're laughing. Am I right? He's going to be like, how could I forget that?
Yes.
It's one of the most memorable games of the last several years, maybe in history, of the Buffalo Bills for maybe reasons other than just losing the game.
What year?
2021.
Okay.
You have the four most recent. You're missing the furthest away.
And apparently the one that is the most memorable.
Yeah, it's very memorable.
Okay. 2021.
For great reasons. It's memorable more for, I'll say, I'm going to give you a word. You're going to get it. Elements.
Oh, the wind game.
Yes.
The wind game, yes. And Damon Harris has a game against the Bills.
Yeah.
And that is 10-7?
14-10.
14-10. I'm so close on these scores.
Mac Jones,
yes.
Like threw two passes, three
yes.
passes, whatever, right?
Yes, it was three passes.
Three passes.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the Shinzu game. Jeremy would have been very upset with me if I forgot that game.
Sun Tzu, isn't it?
Sun Tzu, yeah.
Is it Sun Tzu? I don't even know.
Yeah,
I know, right?
Sun Tzu, yeah.
Sun Tzu, Shinzu, I don't know how they say it.
The Art of War.
There you go. So they have...
And wait, was that the game that afterwards Sean McDermott went on the podium and said... and threw some shade at Bill Belichick, right?
Yeah, let's not give Coach Belichick all the credit here, too much credit. Something like that.
Yeah, it was like he's not God, guys.
Well,
okay,
listen,
he's just a football
coach. He made a point, too, and he was right. Like, there were certain things in that game. Like, Belichick put an inexperienced punt returner back, and it cost them.
Yes.
That was that N'Keal Harry? I think it was, and it went off his helmet.
Yes.
Right? McDermott's making the point, like, hey, we had Micah Hyde because we have to, I think it was Hyde. Like, there's
he's
things
the safety
going,
guy.
Right, like,
yep.
There were little things in that game because McDermott got hammered for that game, for getting outcoached in a game because the other team only threw three passes. Dude, they gave up one big... Go watch the game. You know what cost them that game? I'll tell you what cost them that game. Tremaine Edmonds taking a wrong angle on a crack.
Yes. That was a big Damon Harris run.
Yes.
Yeah, huge Damon Harris
run. That
cost
them that game. There's no doubt about that. I mean, of course, right? You lose a game where a guy throws three passes. Remember the post game? That was Jordan and Micah.
Yep.
And they get asked if they're embarrassed.
But it was a
really big deal.
There was a couple of plays where, like, Josh Allen had an unbelievable throw into the wind
that's where McDermott and Daboll probably deserve criticism, because in that game, if you remember, it took them until the second half to realize, hey, we have Josh Allen. We can throw the ball.
We can still throw the ball.
We don't have to do this, what they're doing.
Yep.
Right?
Because they weren't built for that in 2021.
No.
They were not built to run the football like that.
Not, that's right. They in that game, if you remember, that was the start of them, though, having a huge run after that.
Yes.
They were two games out from the Pats after that game.
Yep.
And they won the division. Much like last year, they were two games out from the Dolphins and still won the division. The same thing happened. The Bills have been great at the end of seasons. And, you know, if you're in the mix here towards the end of the season... Whether it's for division or playoffs, like, at least you know the Bills have played really well in those situations towards the end of the year, getting themselves in position, you know, to win the division or be in the playoffs, obviously, and of course win the division in the last 4 years. They did not lose a division game in 2020. They swept the division in 2020. They lost to the Patriots by 4 in 2021, lost to the Jets by 2 in the, I'm sorry, by 3 and the Dolphins by 2 in 2022, and lost to the Patriots by 4 and the Jets by 6 in overtime last year. They have 5 division losses in the last 4 years. That's it. And they're a total, Nate, a total of 19 points.
It's crazy.
6-4, 2-3, 4.
It's domination.
They have really dominated their division. Let's take a look at the division this year. All right. I'm just going to ask you, Nate Geary, ready? I'm just going to throw you on the spot.
Sure.
Who do you want to start with, Jets, Patriots, or Dolphins? You give me one team. Dolphins, okay. Oh, yeah, Nate with the Dolphins. Here we go. We're about to have a viral moment, everybody, We're about to have a viral moment, I'm sure, with Nate Geary talk about the Dolphins. I'm just going to say this. Nate, in the next 2 minutes,
sure,
analyze the Miami Dolphins headed into 2024.
Who's playing on offensive line? Right now, I go through their depth chart, Sal. Aaron Brewer, listed as their starting center. Robert Jones at right guard. Austin Jackson, right tackle. Isaiah Wynn, listed as their starting left guard. And Terron Armstead, who is old and gets hurt a lot. With Patrick Paul, their second round pick out of Houston, as their backup offensive left tackle. They have a ton of question marks on the offensive line. And people might say, well, Tua gets rid of the ball really quick. Maybe it won't matter who's on the offensive line. But what might matter on the offensive line, Sal, is them repeating the success they had on the ground last year. They draft Jalen Wright, I think, in the third round this year. Another speedster, Devon Achane, another year for him. And Raheem Mostert coming off an 18-touchdown season last year. A pretty unbelievable season. To me, are they going to be able to run the football at the same level and the same clip as they did last year? It was a huge part of the success of their offense is that they were two-dimensional. It made Tua harder to defend. It made that passing game harder to defend because they could run the football. And Devon Achane finished with like 9 yards a carry. Some sort of, it had to be an unbelievable NFL record type season. I don't know if he qualified because I don't know if he had enough attempts, but it was a remarkable season from Devon Achane. Here's really where I have the biggest question mark, Sal, is defensively. I don't really love how the Dolphins defenders spent most of this offseason throwing their previous defensive coordinator under the bus. Remind me, Vic Fangio. Really weird shade that they were throwing at Vic Fangio, who, by the way, is one of the defensive architects of our current era of defenses. Whether or not it's his fault or not, Jordan Poyer is listed as their starting strong safety defensively. The other, Kendall Fuller, nice pickup for them. Their linebackers aren't super... Calais Campbell is their fill-in right now at defensive tackle for Christian Wilkins. I have way more questions about this Dolphins defense. They think that the losses of Christian Wilkins, Robert Hunt, everybody wants to talk about the Bills losses, the Tre'Davious Whites, the Micah Hydes, the Jordan Poyers, guys that were at the end of their career or were unable to stay healthy. They lost two guys that set the market for their position in free agency. I have a lot of questions about the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins are ready to take a step back, not a step forward.
I love it. Great analysis there. I'm with you. If there's a team between the Jets and Dolphins, to me, that would be more apt to be going backward, it would be them. I don't see them going forward. You also didn't mention, but you're right, the injuries of the guys recovering, right?
Yeah.
Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb, they were just placed on PUP yesterday. They can still play, but they're not going to be ready for the start of training camp. Very good analysis there on the Miami Dolphins. All right, who's next? Which team you want to go to?
New York Jets.
All right, here is Nate Geary on the New York Jets.
Okay, so the New York Jets, we just had Paul on earlier today to talk about the Jets, and a lot was made of some of their offseason additions. Tyrone Smith, the 36-year-old starting left tackle, who hasn't played a full season, to Paul's notes, since 2015. Morgan Moses, I think more of a depth-level tackle, not a starting-caliber offensive tackle in the NFL. This offensive line has not, to me, taken the step forward that I think the perception of this team has taken. I still don't think they're particularly good up front. I'm worried about Aaron Rodgers' potential health if he doesn't have a quality offensive line in front of him. Outside of Garrett Wilson, Sal, this is a very underwhelming group of pass-catching weapons. Mike Williams, coming off a second major injury over the course of his career, hadn't really recovered at the level we saw him play at a couple of years ago when Justin Herbert came onto the scene. Xavier Gibson right now is listed as their number three receiver. Malachi Corley might change that. They paid a whole bunch of money for Aaron Rodgers' guy, Alan Lazard, last offseason. He is listed as their number five receiver after making lots of money last offseason. Nathaniel Hackett's a big question mark. So to me, Breece Hall,
very good player. Is the offensive line going to give him enough holes to really see the ceiling that he's capable of having? And on the defensive side of the ball, how are we not talking about Hassan Reddick more? They let Huff go in the offseason. They should have brought him back. Going out and trading for a 30-year-old Hassan Reddick at this point in his career, they're getting the back end of Hassan Reddick, not the peak Hassan Reddick, and they're going to have to pay him for his peak. So to me, that was a big mistake by Joe Douglas on that trade. Jermaine Johnson on the other side, a second-round pick, good player. They drafted last year Will McDonald. He had more games where he was not dressing as their first-round pick than he did play last year. He's set to be the backup to Hassan Reddick if he ever signs. And then another year, C.J. Mosley, Quincy Williams, really strong duo at the linebacker position. C.J. Mosley's getting up there in age. He's not the same player he used to be. And overall on this defense, I think we're more so really ready to see a slight regression from this Jets defense. It's hard to maintain number one defensive status year over year over year. It's the hardest thing to maintain in the NFL. The rules are really geared towards offenses. I think if they step back from a top two or three unit to a top 10 unit, that could be a big shift for this Jets team, who's relying really on that defense being the best defense in football every year.
They have a lot of talent. I do question their depth a little bit, as Paul brought up. They have a couple injuries here or there, which have been very fortunate the last couple years on defense. There's no doubt about that. The big question is Aaron Rodgers, for sure. But man, what can they ever just not be Jetsy and making headlines for
the
lots
wrong
of things
reasons.
Off the field, wrong reasons? I think that's part of their story, right? They have to kind of just be locked in and dialed in. By the way, week one, Jets at Niners, Monday Night Football.
That'll be fun.
That is actually the three largest point spreads week one. Patriots at Bengals, 9-point spread, okay? Next is Cardinals at Bills, 6-point spread. Next, Jets at Niners, 5.5. So the Jets have a schedule that is very, like I said earlier, doable for them. They can play the first 6 weeks. They have the Niners and the Bills kind of on the bookend here. But in between, they have some games they should win. If they get off to a start and beat the Niners, wow, we are talking. However, that Jets-Niners game, Monday Night Football, is going to be very, very interesting. Monday Night Football to open. Jets getting 5.5 right now on the opening line. Let's go to the New England Patriots. Here's Nate Geary on the Pats.
Man, the Pats, before I even get into the roster sale, I was talking on a fantasy podcast the other day about how a guy I really like as a sleeper is quarterback Drake May, rookie quarterback Drake May. And I got a very good rebuttal from the host of the podcast who said, maybe that's right. I don't see him starting the season. Here's why. Here's their first eight game sale at Cincinnati, home against Seattle, in New York, in San Francisco, home against the Dolphins, home against Houston, home against Jacksonville, home against New York. They could start the season 0-8. And do you want to throw your rookie quarterback out there against that gauntlet, especially when you've got Jacoby Brissett? I think it's a fair question to ask. I think the recent history in the NFL has shown us that teams want to get early, you want to get your rookie quarterback out there early. We'll see what the Patriots end up doing. However, there are still a lot of question marks, I think, for the Patriots at their pass-catching wide receiver position. Jalen Polk liked him a lot in the draft. Javon Baker liked him a lot in the draft. But those are late-round picks. DeMario Douglas, Kedrick Bourne coming off an ACL injury. They go out in the offseason. They sign K.J. Osborne. They still have Juju Smith-Schuster. They've got a bunch of guys at the wide receiver position. Are any of them really a wide receiver two, much less a wide receiver one? Something to keep an eye on. I think Hunter Henry is going to have a big season for them, and I think there's a ton of questions for this team along the offensive line, which has been something Bill Belichick has cared a lot about over the course of his career. New regime, this offensive line outside of Cole Strange has a lot of guys you probably have not heard of. And then on the defensive side of the ball, are they going to lock up Matthew Judon long-term? He's 30 years old. He's going to be 31 by the time the season starts, Sal. Is he going to get the long-term contract, or are they going to trade him before training camp starts? That's a question that I want to know, because if they do, they don't really have any other pass rushers on the defensive side of the ball outside of Josh Uche right now. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. But Uche right now, it looks like he's moving to an off-ball linebacker position. At least that's how they have it on the depth chart, so we'll see there. They're pretty set at the safety position. Kyle Duggar signs that offseason extension. Very good player for the Patriots. Jabril Preppers really turned his career there. The guy I'm most interested on this defensive side of the ball, though, Sal, Christian Gonzalez. He got hurt early in the season last year. He looked to be maybe on track to be the defensive player of the year, rookie of the year last year. Really strong start to his career. We'll see how he bounces back from injury. But overall, Sal, a ton of question marks for the Patriots. The only question mark I don't have is they will finish last in this division.
Ha! Yeah, look, I'll say this about the Patriots. They're going to finish last, I agree. I think they're finally starting to do it right after the last few years of just kind of...
Band-aids.
Yeah, and Belichick, notable, I've said many times, like he had Brady covering up everything. He didn't know how to handle not having Brady covering up everything, and now they're trying to do it right, and I don't know if it'll work, but I think they're at least trying the right way here, but it's going to take them a couple years. Question on Drake May, and you're right. When do you think he sees the field? About when? Not necessarily in a specific week, but do you agree with that he won't be the opening day starter?
I don't. I think he will be the opening day starter. I think that he's going to show with his running ability, him being able to move that offensive line, I think that's going to be a huge benefit for them. I know that maybe winning isn't the most important thing for the New England Patriots right now, and if winning's not the most important, developing your rookie quarterback should be. And I think it's hard right now in the NFL to convince anyone that playing and learning on the run is not the best way to develop a rookie quarterback. And I like Jacoby Brissett, but he couldn't keep Sam Howell off the field either. So I like them going to Drake May. I think he'll start the season as the starting quarterback. And I really like Drake May a lot. I know some people were down on him, maybe thought he was the third quarterback, fourth quarterback in this draft. I really liked him as the number two guy. I even liked him a little bit more than Caleb Williams in a couple of areas. Mm. So Drake May, I really did not want the Patriots to get their hands on him, if I'm being honest.
Have you seen their schedule? Go look at their schedule.
It's wow. Brutal, Sal.
Yeah, they have, I think, mathematically the hardest schedule, but when you just look at the gauntlet
visually,
to start.
Visually. Oh. Again, they could start 0-8.
They're at Cincy. They come home to Seattle. Sure, maybe they get Seattle coming west to east.
Sure.
But then they go at the Jets, at the Niners. They got the Dolphins. They got the Texans. They go to the Jags. They get the Jets again.
An improved Tennessee team. An improved Chicago team. A good Los Angeles team. The Dolphins. Home against Indy, who's going to be good. Arizona will be better. And then Buffalo, LA, Buffalo. I mean, Sal, could they go winless?
No, I don't think so. It's just too hard to go winless in the NFL these days.
But if a team could, this schedule could do that.
And this team, the one thing, they just don't have playmakers. They have no players. I think they have actually
a bunch
some
of number
good
threes.
Players.
Yeah, a bunch
good
of number
players,
threes.
Right? But they don't have playmakers. And I think on offense, that's really going to hurt them. They're going to have to play a lot of low-scoring games. They're going to want to play low-scoring games. They're going to have to go with the Belichick model of the last few years, even though I think that it's the right move now to kind of move on from him and have different people running the show.
Could they be a sneaky candidate for Brandon Ayuk?
That was something that was talked about actually in Boston. I saw the guys on EEI saying it's not going to happen, but it's been talked about. They actually have been... Apparently, the rumor is the Patriots have inquired.
Yeah.
The rumor is the Patriots have looked into...
They should be inquiring about every top receiver.
Let me ask you this.
Available.
If Brandon Ayuk goes there right now, does it change your opinion
of
them?
No, absolutely not.
No. What? I mean, you still have a rookie quarterback thrown to him.
They still need somebody.
They need somebody. All right. On the schedule point, at the end of the year, the Bills don't play the Patriots until two of the last 3 weeks. They play in week 16... in Buffalo. They play in week 18 in New England. I'm telling you.
It's an important ending of the season for the Bills.
You get to the end of the year, if they are where we think they are, they're just in evaluation mode, right? They're not trying to win games. By then, you're like, we got to find out about this guy. We got to find out about that guy. Nate, that could be a big blessing for the Bills. Because if they're in evaluation mode two of the last 3 weeks, they're just basically trying to get to the end, figure things out. Now, granted, if for some reason they're better than we think, they could be, okay, we got a shot at this, let's do it. But I think they're in evaluation mode, and I think that could be really good for the Bills, who might need a couple wins at the end of the year trying to chase their fifth straight division title. That's Nate Geary on the AFC East. Good stuff right there. The Bills open up training camp on Wednesday. I want to run through a couple of question marks about the Bills with Nate here this morning. Nate Geary, Sal Capaccio filling in for the Jeremy and Joe show on WGR. Stick with us. We got Joe Licata coming up at 9 a.m.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.